right now on the line with us. Help us go through all things Eagles, Giants tonight. National TV kickoff Thursday Night Football from ESPN.com. Our own Tim McManus. Tim, welcome aboard, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. What's going on?
Oh, we're just, we all got a tight game tonight. We all got like a 3-point, 4-point game. We all have the Eagles winning tonight, a sloppy game with the way the weather's going to be up there. The 65% chance, not just to rain, but thunderstorms up there in East Rutherford. But right out of the gate, Tim, what say you about this game? Don't give me your prediction yet. Just see it. How do you see it playing out? What type of game is it going to be?
I think sloppy is probably a good word for it. And with the thunderstorms in the forecast and the rain in the forecast and two teams that are sub 500, both of them really needing a win, I can see it being kind of a classic NFC East game where these guys are just, you know, going kind of blow for blow in a low scoring game in a slop.
Carson Wentz has talked about getting back to clicking on all cylinders and that high octane offense and moving the football a little bit more. With what they have right now, is that a possibility even in a Thursday night game, short rest, and some guys are banged up?
Yeah, I think it's possible for it to look closer to what it has been compared to the 2017 season for sure. And I think that they are limited, obviously, with their personnel to an extent. The absence of a speed wide receiver is really a big thing, which is why I think that maybe a little bit more Shelton Gibson, more than the 9 snaps that he had last week, could help at least stretch the field, even if he's not getting a lot of catches. I think he can influence the game a little bit. And I also think that if Doug Peterson commits to the run game more, that you can start seeing some better consistency out of this offense and some good things from Carson Wentz. You know, Wentz has dropped back on average since he got back from that major knee injury 41 times per game. And he's absorbed 27 quarterback hits and has been sacked 12 times. That's 4 sacks on average. That's way too much for a QB that's coming off of a big injury and to sustain balance. Over the last two games, it's been a 70-30 pass run ratio. And I think that Peterson, like last year, if you guys remember week 2 against Kansas City, where it was just really out of whack, that was kind of a wake up call for him as a play caller. And if the last 2 weeks serve the same purpose, that could mean good things for the Eagles.
You asked Doug Peterson about RPOs, and I love that you did that yesterday because we made a big point about it when, I believe it was Monday's press conference, Marcus Hayes asked about run-to-pass ratio, and first play of the game was a pass, and he said, well, actually, it was an RPO. Well, you still passed the football. You still went with the P over the R in that one. So you asked him about it, about whether or not he was doing it less this year. What was his response to that?
His response is that he's doing it the same, but that defenses are countering it in a way where it's giving to them running the ball more. So I looked into it a little bit about, you know, why aren't these RPOs as prevalent as they were last year? Why aren't they as effective to this point through 5 games? And obviously, defenses spent a good portion of the offseason trying to figure this out. And that's not just because the Eagles run it, but there's a lot of successful offenses across the league that were implementing these, and they were tough to defend. So there's really 3 things that I came away with that defenses are now doing to slow down the RPO. Number one is they're bringing cornerbacks up to the line of scrimmage to jam the wide receiver. If you don't give them a free release, it's more difficult to run that quick pop pass. Okay, so that's number one. And really, I think that's a compounded issue for the Eagles because they don't have that speed wide receiver on the outside that can force a cornerback to back off at the line. So I think that's number one what's happening. The second thing that I heard from an offensive mind in the NFL was that defenses are blitzing the gap that are often abandoned by guards who are pulling out on these RPOs. So they're shooting somebody right up the middle in his place and disrupting the timing of it. And the third one is they're telling their backside defenders to stay home for an extra beat on these RPOs to take away the quick pop pass on the opposite side of the field. And then you put those 3 things together, it's been a more effective recipe for the RPO, something that the Eagles are going to have to, and the rest of the NFL, frankly, are going to have to find a counter to for something that was really successful, obviously, for a lot of teams last year.
We're talking to Tim McManus, ESPN.com. Well, then, if they do choose the, the P over the O, shouldn't they just go with an old-fashioned, or excuse me, over the R? Shouldn't they just go with an old-fashioned R? Shouldn't they just call a run every once in a while?
Yeah, I don't think that Peterson's, excuse there really holds water because, like you said, you're either passing it or you're running it. I mean, it's not, it's not going to factor into the final equation here. So yes, to your question, I think that they need to just have traditional runs in there, that they need to establish the run early. And, you know, part of his argument, which has some validity, is they're falling behind in some of these games. The reason they had so much balance last year is because they get out to that fast start. And that's really the recipe that they want, because they want their defense to be able to pin their ears back on the defensive front, to nurse the lead and implement the run game. But as you saw in the first drive of the second half last week, when he committed to the ground game worked. And if you look at the last two games even, you know, they're averaging 5 yards per carry over those two games on the ground. And yet he used it very sparingly. So yes, to your question, I think that, you know, if it's an RPO, if it's just an R, you got to run the ball.
Tim, something that worked really well also was that first series against Indianapolis when Carson was on the field for the first time. They went up tempo, and it worked really well, went right down the field, finishes with Goddard getting the touchdown pass. We haven't seen it much since then. Do you have any reasoning as to why, and do you think maybe we will see it some more?
I think it's a great call, Bob. I mean, I think that they absolutely need to run it more, or go run up tempo more. And I think that it has been an effective tool for this offense. One that Wentz seems to thrive in, that the offense really starts to catch some momentum in. And I don't have a good reason why they haven't done it. Peterson has been at the podium, and some of these other offensive guys have been at the podium and have talked about running up tempo and how that could possibly solve some of the issues that they're having, and yet we haven't really seen it. So I would expect it more moving forward for sure.
What's going on with the offensive line? What's going on with the Isaac and Wisniewski situation? Is there any more information coming out on that?
I haven't seen Wiz tweet anything recently, so maybe the thing it's cooled off a little bit. But the one message that the coaches have had this week, Trey, is that they're not going to be making any major changes on a short week, and I think that makes sense. The moves that they made, it was at least for a 2-game stretch, because you don't want to be reshuffling when you only have a couple days to prepare, which says to me that Seumalo is going to be at left guard alongside Jason Peters. I asked Peters after last week's game how it worked out, and he said that he thought it actually went pretty well with him and Seumalo, and that even one of the pressures that Seumalo gave up early was actually on Peters. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be at a different level and wasn't, and so he raised his hand for that one. So it looks like, at least for now, they're going to keep rolling with Seumalo and see how that works out.
How about that whole Jason Kelce healthy or not situation right now, Tim? I haven't really seen him. I heard you make this point. You haven't really seen him get to that second level yet.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're deploying him a whole lot, or that he's nearly as far down the field with regularity as compared to last season. So we have circumstantial evidence. We have that. We have the fact that he's wearing a knee brace on his left leg, and the fact that he looks like he's laboring at times in practice. I haven't noticed that as much over the last, say, week or two. So maybe that's a sign that things are pointing in a more positive direction for Kelce. But there were certainly times, like when he was going through even warm-up drills, like he would either not participate or be the last one there and kind of look like he was huffing and puffing. And then in the game, you see some times where he looks hampered as well. So I think the circumstantial evidence says that he's not 100%, and whether it ends up being a long-term factor, if it's something that he's starting to push through, I guess is to be determined.
All right, are we getting a running back? What's happening here? Are we adding somebody? Tim McManus, ESPN.com, what's happening?
All right, so I think that they're obviously looking. I mean, it's Howie Roseman mm-hmm. we're talking about. So he's working the phones. The fact that they would have called up the Bills, not a surprise at all. He's going to be looking at, I think, three positions. I think really four. But he's going to be looking at running back. He's going to be looking at wide receiver. And he's going to be looking in the defensive secondary to see if he can get any help there. He's got 3 weeks to do it, right? So the October 30th trade deadline is still a couple weeks away, where he can wait and see what forms at running back if he chooses to. So I don't think that there's anything imminent. I think that if you're talking about someone like McCoy, it's probably a better bet if it is down the line a little bit, if the Buffalo Bills go in the tank, because right now they're 2-3. McCoy's arguably their best player. So do you really want to pull the plug on that? So I would say if it ends up being McCoy, maybe it's a couple of weeks away. But I think that between now and October 30th, we know that Roseman's going to be doing a heck of a lot. And running back obviously is one that they wouldn't mind bolstering, given the rash of injuries that really they've had at that position and others over the start of the season.
Tim, two quick ones for you. Will we see Tim Jernigan again this year?
I think the answer is yes to that.
Okay.
At least I sense some optimism within the walls that that's what they're expecting or anticipating. how much you see of him and how effective he is, given what he's coming off of. You know, the herniated disc, that's not an easy thing to bounce back from as a large defensive lineman playing football. So I'm not banking on him maybe providing a lot, but there seems to be some optimism that he is going to come back.
And finally, of course, your prediction tonight. Are you with us? Eagles win in a close one.
I think so. I mean, the one area of concern is that the Eagles have been giving up a lot of big plays, as we know, and the Giants have a couple big playmakers in Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley. Can they eliminate that and start getting back to sort of their 2017 ways on defense? But I am banking on them rallying a little bit here on the offense, getting off the ground some, and the running game starting to get more settled in. So, I think it's a close one. I think it's a sloppy one, but I'm saying that the Eagles pull out a win here.
There we go. Tim McManus, ESPN.com. Hey, great. First talking to you on the air here, Tim. Really appreciate you coming on.
Hey, guys, congrats on the show, and thank you for having me on.